welcome. You are in the talk for accountability, taking the beat down out of accountability. So if that's not what you signed up for, now is your time to exit gracefully. Or if you just don't want to look at me all night, you can leave too. That's fine. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a couple minutes, and we're just going to get anybody from the audience that we got a couple mics roving around. Clarissa back here, and Connor's going to help us out. And so how about let's take this first one here. What is your or your group's working definition, okay? And by working definition, we mean, you know, not like the right answer per se, but like if you were to just take a snapshot right now of your group's accountability, what would you say that the purpose of it is, or how what's it trying to accomplish? So anybody want to answer that, just raise your hand, and Connor or Clarissa will come to you. There we go, right there.
Just being able to depend on you for if anything comes up that they can text you, they can call you, they can discuss with you in community a problem, and that you'll always be there to help them.
That's good. So checking in on them, being able to test them, to challenge them, to encourage them, to support them. That's good. Anybody else over here? Anybody willing to raise their hand? You don't have to have a good answer, by the way, guys. It's okay. I mean,
the new motto as of this week is just share it, and that's big, small, relationship issues, sin struggles, doesn't matter what it is. We just have a continuing running group text that we interact with, and then we catch up on the more in-depth stuff on our weekly meetings.
That's good. So you guys stay in touch via text throughout the week, and then when you meet weekly, you're just kind of sharing big life stuff, whether it's sin or whether it's just a big challenge you're facing that week. That's great. That's great. Okay, what do you believe is needed to improve your current accountability? Anybody want to volunteer what they said for that answer? What's needed? If you just had to say, man, one thing I'd love for our group to do differently or better, or I think we're lacking somehow. Maybe you don't know. Maybe that's why you're here. Here we go.
Following up on stuff. Somebody brings something up. I'm sorry. I just said follow up. So when somebody brings something up and the ability to remember that and to continue following up with them.
That's good. The ability to remember, maybe to write it down, maybe to, you know, reach out throughout the week between meetings. That's good. Anybody else? What would you say? What would you say you just love to see? Okay. I think that might be it then. All right. Oh, we got one more. Boom, right here.
I think for us, consistency is what I would love to see an improvement on, where we've got several weeks or months where we'll do a great job of confession and follow-up, and then other weeks where it's not a priority and we don't talk about it. And so just doing that on a more regular basis, I think, is one way we could probably improve.
That's good. Consistency, just week to week, month to month, not kind of, you know, letting it slide for a few weeks. So, all right, well, thank you guys. We're going to do that a couple more times, so get used to it, okay? And if you had something on the tip of your tongue and you didn't get to share it, that's okay. You'll have another opportunity. So my name is Noah Brown. I'm on the community team here at Watermark. I work primarily with married community groups, and
I'm out of breath. Okay, hold on. I'm Clarissa Norrell, and I'm also on the community team over single women's.
All right, and it was perfectly timed, by the way. So tonight's talk, we're going to be going through accountability, what it is, and hopefully how to do it, or at least give you some guiding principles, and then maybe some real tactical things that you can take away. But one of the first things that we do want to cover before we kind of get into the nuts and bolts, if you will, is just to kind of let's kind of lay the groundwork, right? Let's define our terms and make sure we're kind of all on the same page. Because when I say accountability, you might think something totally different than somebody over here than somebody over here. And so, first of all, actually, before I even do the definition, I do just want to say this: you know, the reason that we do this is because everyone counts, okay? It's called accountability because everyone must give an account, but it's you. This is you. This is your life, and you, excuse me, I get emotional about this. You count, right? And the shepherd, you know, Jesus tells a story about the shepherd that went after his one sheep. Well, he knew that he only had 99 because he was counting, and he knew he was missing one, and he wanted to go get it. So you matter, and that's why accountability matters. So the definition therein is just, this is what we took from Merriam-Webster's website, okay, pretty basic, but it's the quality of state of being accountable, right? That's obvious. But especially when an obligation or willingness to accept responsibility for your actions, all right? Now, think about the words, willingness and obligation, okay? So those, we don't use those a whole lot, but it's the same idea as we talk about in community. You're submitting yourself to one another. You're opening yourself up to one another. You're subject to each other. You're to submit to one another. And so the idea is there, I'm willing and I am allowing you to come into my life and to know what's really going on. If you think about, you know, kind of all of the, like, what exactly is that we're accountable for or to, you know, if you're a follower of Christ, then, hey, you're saying, man, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that the Bible is his inspired word. I believe it's directly applicable to my life, and so I want to model my life and relationships after the Bible. If you're a member of Watermark, you're saying, you know, I'm going to subject myself to the elders, to their care and correction. I'm going to be in a community group. I'm going to serve here. I'm going to do these things. And so all of these deals, and even you specifically, you have specific thoughts, dreams, ideas about yourself that I want to be this kind of person in my relationship with my spouse, or I want to be this kind of person with this person that I'm pursuing in dating, or I want to be this kind of employee or employer. And so all of these things are what we hope to be about, right? And so accountability is simply the process of letting others, and specifically your community group, help you to make good on the things that you want to be, the things that you have said you wish to be true about you. This is your community helping you make that come true. And so it's simply others helping you be who you say you are or that you wish to be. So, and in that sense, it's really about, it's not, we're going to talk more about this, but it's not just a checklist of things that I got to, you know, didn't do this, did that, you know, did that twice. But it's more about like, man, this is my heart and this is who I desire to be. And these are the things that are in my way. And in some sense, it's about learning to hate your sin, okay? And learning to make a separation there between the me that I think is true about me and then the behaviors that might say otherwise. So with that, Clarissa, what would you add?
Yeah, and so I think just to talk about, you know, that we want to be held accountable to who we are or who we desire to be. And as Noah just talked about, our hope as believers is that we desire to be more like Christ. And so scriptures tells us who we are, and it tells us then how we are to live that out. And so it gives us guidance in that. And so, but to start with, we have to identify who God is. And so we cannot possibly understand who we are and our identity without knowing him first. Who we are is rooted in who he is and what he has done. And so I've gone through and listed just a very few character traits of the Lord. Again, this list is tiny. I mean, if you take all of scripture, but this is just to kind of get us started. And one of the things I would encourage you, if you've never made a list of God's characteristics as you've studied through scriptures, I would highly encourage you to do that. It's pretty amazing to kind of take a study and every time you read through scriptures go, what does this say about God? What does this say about God? What does this say about God? Because before long, you're going to start seeing this theme, right, through all of scriptures about who God is, who he says he is, who his people say he is. And this is just great because we know that we're all going to go through difficulties and trials. And sometimes the only thing we really can cling to is God's character. character. And so we really want to build that foundation of really understanding who the Lord is. And so a few of the things that I've listed here is we know he's creator. He's God of gods and Lord of lords. He's mighty and awesome. He's compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. And his way is perfect. His word is true. And then this last part, I would love for us just to take a look at the actual passage. So if you have your Bibles, would you turn those to Colossians 1? And if you got an app on your phone, a Bible app, if you go to Colossians 1, I think it'll mean more for you to see it than for me just to read it to you. So I'm going to give you just a second. Colossians 1. And we're going to start in verse 15. So Colossians 1, starting in verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And so I would love for you guys just to yell out some things that that passage tells you about God. Anybody? Anybody? Come on, guys. Help me out here. What did you say? Yes, imminent, preeminent. Yes. What did you say? The image of God, absolutely. And so we could take a look through here and just write down a ton of things that it says about God, right? It says about Christ specifically. The one thing that I pick out and that I really love about this is it said that we were created by him and for him. So that tells us something about our identity, right? And so he created us for himself. And so that's the next piece I want to talk about. And so in light of who God is, who are we? And so a few things I've written down here are that we are created by God. We were created in his image. We are justified, redeemed. We are God's chosen ones, holy, beloved, and forgiven. We are new creations in Christ. We belong to him. And we are spiritually blessed. And again, this is just a tiny fraction of what all of Scripture says. You have a handout at your table which says, "In Christ I am." And that is really just for you to take home with you. It's awesome to have a place that you can go, whether it's in moments of difficulty or trial or struggle, and really just be reminded of who you are in Christ and what Scripture says about you, because it really matters when it comes to your heart. The one thing that I do want to point out on this one in particular is that we belong to him. And so Ephesians 2:10 says that we are God's masterpiece, created in Christ to do good works that he prepared for us in advance. And then 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20 basically says that we are not our own. Like, we were bought with a price. So we belong to him. And so as such, like, just understanding really what that means, we are his children. We belong to him. And so that then, if we understand that, will affect our behaviors. And so our behaviors come out of our beliefs about who we are, about who God is. And so we just wanted to take a moment just to make sure that we covered these couple of things for you. Is there anything you would add to that?
No, I think you nailed it, Clarissa. I mean, everything that we are is directly from Christ, really. I love that passage. So the next question that I'm sure you're probably wondering is, okay, that's great. But why do I need other people, right? I thought it was just like me and Jesus, right? That was all I needed. And so what we would say is absolutely all you need for salvation and for life in Christ is Christ. Like, that's it. That's all you need. Okay. But but in order to allow His Spirit to work out in your life, we need other people. All right, think about how many emails you have gotten in the last 7 days that have been encouraging you to buy something. Okay, seriously, I've probably gotten 500, no joke, right? And that's probably low for some of you. And so that's the way our flesh is, guys. That's the way my mind is. It's like every minute, it's like, oh, look at this. Well, look at that. Think about this. Well, that's cool. Well, that's interesting. You should buy that. Well, you need that. That's going to make you happy. Look at that girl. And on and on and on. And it's impossible to think that at some point I'm not going to be like, okay, that's interesting. I'll entertain that one. Our flesh is weak and susceptible. And besides that, the world and the devil are constantly after us, and they are cunning, okay? And so we need others. And so I'm going to read I'm going to read a section. This is from John Ortberg's book, Everybody's Normal Until You Get to Know Them. And in it, he has a section on David, which, if you're not familiar with the story, King David in the Old Testament, he is the best king Israel has had or will ever have up until Jesus, okay? And despite being the hero of the nation and having all these military victories and being the golden boy, he's got this black spot on his character where, you know, he slept with a woman that was his best friend's wife, got her pregnant, killed his best friend, and then married a woman. And so kind of swept that under the rug until Nathan the prophet calls him out. And so this is where Ortberg picks up. He says, all indications are that without Nathan to interrupt David, this moral collapse would go on indefinitely. This is not just true for David. Without a Nathan in our lives, we have a way of drifting off course. David, a man after God's own heart, didn't set out to become a murderer or an adulterer. We generally don't intend to make a mess of our lives. Nobody takes a vow of marriage and plans on ending up in divorce court. No dad welcomes children into this world and plans on being so busy with meetings and briefcases that he ends up a distant, polite stranger. No disappointed homemaker picks up a glass of wine to take the edge off her boredom and plans on entering the life of a secret alcoholic. No business person makes a first deal and plans to become so consumed with expanding his lifestyle that all generosity and compassion dry up from his soul. No one plans these things, but they happen every day. Why? Here's at least one major reason. We have no one in our lives whom we have invited in to tell us the truth. When we have nobody to answer to, no one holding us accountable for living up to the values that we most deeply hold, we become very vulnerable. And so the reason that we need others is that our flesh is vulnerable. We are vulnerable. Now, there's plenty of scriptures to back this up. They're written up there about, you know, God calls us to be in community. He calls us to surround ourselves with people. He calls us, he warns us of the dangers of isolation. He commands us to admonish one another, to encourage one another, to spur one another on. But the bottom line is we are weak and we need others to help bring about that which Christ wants to bring about in us. So, you know, I think about the words to a song, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, and just this song that's all about how beautiful Christ is and how you know, perfect his love is like a fountain of blessing that just washes over us continually. And right in the middle of the song, he says, oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy grace now like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Does anybody know what a fetter is? Anybody? There we go. Somebody back there. Okay, one. I didn't know, so I Googled it. It's a ball and chain. He's literally saying, God, I need you to lock me up as if I'm in prison so that I don't run away from your goodness. And man, that's true of me. So we need people around us, okay? So with that, we're going to go to some table time. We're going to have a couple of questions up here. All right, and so we'll just spend probably 5 to 7 minutes chatting about these, and then we'll be back up here, okay?
Interrupt you. Y'all are having such good conversation. We would like to get a couple of answers from you on some of these questions. So in the first one, in what ways can other Christians help you grow that you couldn't grow on your own? Anybody want to give us an answer? There's one back there.
They can actually, another person can actually point out our blind spots that we have. We may be able to look at other people and point out certain things that makes them stumble, but we are blind to what makes us stumble in our own struggle, in our own walk with Christ. And so it's good to have other people in to say, look, hey man, I think you should stop doing this because it's causing you to do these things.
Yeah, that's great. So if you couldn't hear him, he said it other people help you see your blind spots. And so absolutely. Anybody else?
Got one right here, Clarissa.
Thanks, Noah. It's for us, it's simply a reminder of, hey, when you accept Christ, you're admitting you're broken and that you need a Savior. And no one expects you to be perfect. It's a process of sanctification. And just a reminder along the way of turning away from that sin and just surrounding yourself with people that actually love you and care about you and want to see you grow. That's the biggest thing for us.
That's great. Just to be reminded and to be encouraged in that for sure. And so we're going to go to the last question. Based on the speaker's definition of accountability, what would you think a normal accountability meeting would involve? Anybody? He's going to start calling on you. I mean, it's true. He's got it over here.
I think coming with humility and knowing that we're not perfect and then being authentic.
Yeah.
I think really opening up to your group and actually expressing what your struggles are and going through that so that everyone else in your group can be accountable to you.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's super important for us at least.
That's perfect. Humility and authenticity. Do you want to teach the next part of this for me?
Yeah, you're good.
I think you just did right there. Perfect. Anybody else?
Yeah. So I think being prepared, coming prepared to accountability every week and really processing how your week has gone, how your time in the Word has been, and just taking inventory of your week so that mm-hmm. you can answer them authentically instead of just having a busy day, you're just rushed, you're just showing up, you're late, you're kind of frantic, and you're just here, and you've got nothing to give to the group. So it helps just be prepared.
Yeah, absolutely. Be prepared. That's great.
She read the notes.
She did. I think you guys have just covered the next section, so you're dismissed. I'm just kidding. Anybody, we'll take one last one if anybody else wants to respond. Awesome. Well, we'll just move on. And so the next part of this then is we've talked about what accountability is and what we're being accountable to, so with regards to who we are in Christ. And so I think the next part of this is what must accountability include, which is kind of what we were just talking about in some of those questions. And so I would say one of the first things is sharing your condition and knowing theirs. And the idea behind this is it's not just one-sided. So I want to be able to come to you and fully share with you. And part of that is I'm just setting an example in that, right, with what I'm willing to share and what I'm willing to lay out there. And so Scripture tells us to walk in the light as He is in the light. And so we are to be authentic and open with one another in the same way that we're to know their condition. And so I'm sure you guys remember the story of Cain and Abel back in Genesis. And the Lord comes to Cain and He's like, hey, where's Abel? Where's your brother? And he's like, what am I, my brother's keeper? And God basically said, yes, you know? And so just understanding that we have a responsibility to our brothers and sisters in Christ also to know their condition. And so there's two pieces of that, but we can definitely lead out in that humility and authenticity ourselves. And so kind of on to the next piece of that is authenticity. And so scripture tells us to confess our sins to God and to one another. And so obviously the Lord forgives us in that, and he cleanses us in that. But when we get to share with other people, we experience freedom and healing. And so one of the things David wrote about in Psalm 32, verse 3 specifically, is he says, "For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away." And so just knowing that sometimes keeping those things inside really even hurts us. I mean, it's like we're worried about maybe what other people think, but we're wasting away inside. And we're in bondage, honestly. And so when we're able to share with others, James 5:16 tells us to confess our sins to one another so that we may be healed and so that they will pray for us. And so the idea is that we will experience freedom and healing in our confession with others and with the Lord. And then the second piece of that is that it allows us to fellowship with one another. And so even if there's something going on with me that I haven't shared, maybe it doesn't involve my friend who I'm having accountability with, but there's still a wedge in our fellowship because I know I haven't shared something with her, even if she doesn't know it. And part of it's like, I'm afraid that she might find me out. I'm afraid that she might know it. There's something going on and I feel guilty about it. And so it is affecting my fellowship with her, which is also why 1 John 1:7 tells us to walk in the light as he is in the light so that we will have fellowship with one another. And so that's another aspect of living authentically and confessing with one another. Is there anything else you would add to that piece?
Yeah, I think I would just say that, you know, we say a lot, it's not my job to draw it out of you. It's your job to tell it to us. And so, you know, the onus is on you to bring up what needs to be brought up. Now, the flip side of that, though, is that, you know, if I share, or if I'm in a group with somebody and they share something like, hey, I struggled in purity with my girlfriend this week, then, okay, that's not very specific. So in my mind, a non-specific confession or a half-truth of a confession is really a full lie, okay? And so I want to, not because I want to be legalistic, not because I want to shame that person, and not really because I even want to know, you know, those details. I would rather forget them, but because I want to help that person be free and to heal, I'm going to ask questions, and I'm going to get very specific and say, hey, you know, what do you mean by that? Does that entail this? Does that entail this? Okay, tell me, did this happen? Okay, when was that? How many times did that happen? And so I want to fully understand the picture, not because Noah actually wants to understand, but because I want to set them free or help them be set free.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, because it is like a half-truth is really a lie. And so just understanding what it looks like to fully be authentic with one another, that's what's going to bring the healing. And so thanks for adding that in. And so the next part is I want to be able to respond with grace and truth. And so Noah's going to talk a little bit more about this piece in a minute, but just understanding that there has to be both. And sometimes this is hard. We have a tendency to lean one way or the other. So we're either truth tellers or we're purely grace givers, right? And there's a problem when we're at the opposite end of either of those spectrums. And so one of the things that we know is that Jesus was full of grace and truth. And so we see that in scriptures. He was the perfect example of grace and truth to us. And so wants us to be that way. Ephesians 4:15 tells us to speak the truth to one another in love. And so we're never told in scripture just to speak truth. Hard truth, harsh truth, without being loving or gracious or kind. And so I think always remembering that there has to be a combination of those two. And some of the things to consider that might help you as you think about, hey, how do I respond in grace and truth is, one, just thank them for sharing. And I know that sounds like, may sound silly, but it's kind of like, sometimes it takes a lot for us to be honest and to share with one another. And if you'll just say to them, man, thank you so much for sharing that. I know that was probably hard. Thank you for trusting me with that. And just opening it up that way. And I think the next step you want to take is, man, I know your heart. I know that you want to follow Christ. I know that you don't want to stay here. You don't want to wrestle here. I do believe that is true of you. And so I want to help you in that. And I want to encourage you and remind you of your identity in Christ. And so some of those things that we just talked about a minute ago, because that makes a difference. I want you to live out as somebody who is free, as somebody who is in Christ, as somebody who has a new life. I want you to live in the fullness of life, of that, because that's what Christ has given us. And so just reminding them of who they are in Christ. And then the last part of this is just, of course, you want to pray with them and then always give biblical counsel. But this may not happen right away. So you may sit down and have a conversation with your accountability person, and you know, you may need to take some time, both of you, to walk away and really dig into Scripture and pray and come back together and share that. And so that's okay. Don't feel like you have to have all the answers and all biblical knowledge in that moment. There are so many resources that can help you walk through that as well. And then the last one is just be patient and encourage one another. And so accountability is not a one and done kind of thing, right? It's not like I'm going to come to you and I'm going to confess my sin and then I'm going to be all better, you know, once we talk and not ever have to think about it again. That's not accountability. And so we're talking about walking alongside of each other for the long haul, right? And so it may mean that in whatever it is that you're struggling with in this moment, it may be months. It may be years of us just continuing to walk through that together, right? As the Lord is continuing to work. And so just, it sometimes can be frustrating to be with somebody and to be like, we keep ending up here again, right? And God has told us in his word how to walk through that with people for sure. But just knowing that, hey, God really does want us to be patient and long-suffering and bearing with one another. And so that's incredibly important. And then to follow up with one another in any of those areas that they've shared with you, follow up with them just to let them know that you're praying for them, encourage them with Scripture, whatever that looks like in that situation. Anything else you would add?
I think that's good. Perfect. So from here, we're going to go back to the table. We're going to give you a couple more questions to talk through and a couple, another 5-7 minutes to chat about those. And then we'll be back up and with more. All right, guys. We're going to do this again, okay? So just get used to it, okay? If this makes you a little awkward, a little uncomfortable, just settle into it, okay? It's kind of like stretching. Just take a deep breath. So first question, which of these principles of accountability that Clarissa just did a great job covering, does your group currently do the best? Anybody want to take a stab at that one? I think somebody from this table right there.
Thank you so much.
We tend to be the, patient and encouraging. I think we take the easy way out and don't challenge each other enough. It's just easy to say, oh, man, I'm sorry. That sucks. You'll do better next time. So.
That's good. I'm going to talk about you next, so. Just wait. I'm kidding, but I am, actually. So what about this table right here? You've got some good ones. I could tell. Is it Taylor? Or is it Tate? Tate.
Do y'all want to share? Is this what we do well or what we do best? What we do best? The same thing. What we do worst. put on the spot. We don't, piggyback. We just do a lot of encouragement. We don't speak a lot of truth, I don't think, as much. And we also don't go into detail as much. So we just kind of, we don't push enough. And so that's something we need to improve on.
That's good. So you said going deep, not going deep enough, and not asking enough questions. One other thing you said, not encouraging each other. Okay. What about over here? Sonia McEwen, I think you've got some good stories to share. Raise your hand so Connor can bring the mic to you.
Yeah.
He just called her out, didn't he? I think he did.
That's the price you pay.
You seriously don't want to share? You want me to share my stories? Maybe what came to mind, maybe we're the opposite. We're truth. We've been truth tellers this year, and just been a very unusual year, I think, we've had two people in our groups go through church discipline and get the Matthew 18 letters. And so it's been about trying to balance now that these people are gone and not in our group anymore. Like, there's three couples left, and where do we go from here? And we're really hoping for a better year next year that we can come together. But really, it almost broke us up. So, yeah.
That's all. Okay. So you're saying you do the speaking truth pretty well.
Apparently.
Yeah, there you go. All right, well, that's enough. That's enough of that. So where we're going to go now, we're going to talk about just kind of some typical things that we can fall into, right? And so I was kidding earlier with you, buddy, but hey, I'm guilty of everything that we're going to talk about. So so if that's you, then you are in good company tonight. But these are just some typical pitfalls, right? Things that we might fall into that are not great habits, but easy to do, okay? And so first there is shame, right? And we all know what shame is, but just to put a face with a name, shame is... it's kind of this feeling about me, I am so terrible. Woe is me. I can't believe that I would do something like that. Oh, I can't. I'm such a sinner. I'm such a wretched person. It's this horrible feeling about me and my identity, right? And so that's a big reason why we talked about identity up front, is because the antidote to shame is acknowledging what Scripture says about you, and choosing to believe Scripture over me and over my feelings in the moment. But shame can be self-inflicted, in that I can sometimes, like oftentimes it is just coming from me. I'm so embarrassed. I can't believe I did this. But then, you know, it can be external too, right? Somebody says, really? You did that again? You know, what were you thinking? And so that's certainly not the way we want to approach our friends, but rather, I do want to just to list a couple thoughts here from Scripture. John 8, Christ says, "He whom the Son sets free is free indeed." And then Romans 6 says that we are no longer slaves to sin. And Romans 8 says that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The thing about shame is it is bondage. It is imprisonment. It is that ball and chain that we talked about earlier, but not tying me to God's grace, tying me to my sinful nature, my flesh, and saying, oh, I'm so terrible. And so, but the Son has said that we are free, okay? And so we need to, Romans 12 says that by the renewing of our minds, we need to maybe be able to test and approve what is God's will. And so we've got to pack Scripture, pack truth in there, and so that when we do come into those feelings of shame, we can say, hey, you know what? That's not what Christ has said about me. And that's what accountability is for, right? When someone is stuck down deep in the muck and the mire, is for us to say, hey, brother, hey, sister, like, I get it. The only reason I'm not there right now is because I was there last week, you know, and I know I'll be there next week. But right now, I just want to remind you of what God says about you, that you're free, that your behavior doesn't define who you are, that what God says about you defines who you are. Next there is truth without grace. And so it's all too easy for us to just hit people with the truth, right? Sometimes people say, I'm just a truth teller. I just tell the truth. That's what I do. And we seem to think that being a truth teller is synonymous with being a jerk. But the reality is that, you know, even the prophets, they had a deep, these are the guys that stood up in front of the, you know, in the middle of town and said to thousands of people, hey guys, you're going the wrong direction. These guys were torn up, were broken up by the sin that they saw in the nation of Israel. And so when we're called to be prophets in our little circles, in our little, you know, little churches, we've got to carry with us truth. We can't just beat people up with a, I'm sorry, we've got to carry with us grace. We can't just beat people up with the truth. It's been said that, you know, truth without grace is just not even heard. But then grace without truth isn't really true, right? Because if I say to somebody, hey, man, it's okay. Better luck next time, okay? That's only part of the truth, right? I've been kind to them, but I haven't told them the whole truth that, hey, that activity is going to kill you, all right? That's going to destroy you and your relationships. And so I haven't been a good friend to them if I've allowed them to continue doing whatever they're doing that's destroying them. So truth must come along with grace. Legalism, you know, it's just easy for us to get kind of wrapped up in a checklist, right? And I think that's definitely my go-to when I was getting acquainted with accountability. I just thought, okay, we got a bunch of questions, got to ask a bunch of questions. And, you know, when we do that, what we're doing is we focus on our behaviors. What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you not doing? What are you doing? And we're forgetting the heart. And all we're driving at really is the heart. So any activity that we talk about, and sometimes we must talk about activities, all it does is it drives us back to the heart, okay? And so if all we do, though, is focus on the activity, on the action, then it can just become a checklist of this is done, that's not done. Okay, I read my Bible 5 times a week, and I didn't look at porn, and I didn't cuss, and, you know, and that's what it is. But that's not the mark of a true Christian, right? What the true Christian looks like, someone that is abiding with Jesus Christ. Spiritual navel gazing. Anybody here guilty of that? Besides me? So, you know, going back to our definition of accountability, when we said that, hey, all we're trying to do is help you be who you say you want to be, right? And if who you want to be is more like Jesus Christ, and what you want your life to be about is projecting his image to this fallen, broken world, then me focusing on me, talking about me and my behaviors and what I'm doing, how is that going to get me to focus on Christ? You know, I think about Hebrews chapter 12, where it says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Let us gaze intently on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. So when we focus all about, it goes back to this behavior, this checklist, this, did we do this? When we focus on all we're really doing is just staring at ourselves, you know, and that doesn't get us anywhere. So let's look to Jesus. And then silence, or a lack of, you know, injection of truth, a lack of biblical wisdom. You know, there's definitely, and I want to be careful here, there's definitely something to be said about, you know, empathy. You want to be kind. You want to listen. You want to be a friend. But I am guilty of just saying to somebody, hey, man, that's tough, man. I'm sorry. I'll pray for you. And not really offering something to help them. Not really saying, hey, can I share with you an observation? Or can I just share with you what the scripture says about that? Maybe just let the scripture speak for itself. You know, can I just tell you, this is the second, third, fourth time you've mentioned this in the last 3 months, and I'm kind of wondering, is there more to the story there? So if I don't do that, like we said earlier, you know, it's not my job to draw it out of you. It's your job to present it, to throw it out there. Hey, that is true, but once it's out there, it is my job to work with it and to be faithful. Now I know that there's an iceberg, and now I've got to really try to figure out what the rest of that iceberg is. And so the last thing I'll just say about all of these is just ask yourself, really, what is the motivation, right? Is our motivation out of love for this person? Are we saying, man, I know that whatever you're going through right now is painful and is hurting you and is hurting others. And I know that God's way is best, that his word is true, and that he's a shield about those who take refuge in him. If that's my attitude and my motivation, then all of these are going to be moot. They're going to be just shucked by the wayside. But if we're focused on ourselves, if we're focused on our actions, if we're focused on external behaviors, then we're going to miss the entire heart, which is really the point. So So that's all I've got for this section. We're going to go back to a couple questions, give you maybe 5-6 minutes to chat through these, and then we'll be back for some more awkward questioning.
I would love to just add, as you were talking, somebody said to me one time, hey, if I let a friend continue down a path that I know is not going to lead well, like it's going to end in destruction or death, as scripture talks about, if I let that person continue to go and I don't speak up and I don't, you know, because I'm worried, you know, what they may think of me if I speak into that, it's like allowing a friend to go down a road where the bridge is out ahead. And you're just letting them go down there. You know the bridge is out, and you're just afraid to tell them, you know, what they need to hear. Because ultimately, that's what we're doing when we allow our brothers and sisters to continue down a path of destruction. And so just keeping that picture in mind, man, I do love you, and I don't want you to walk down that road that way. And I'm willing to stand out there with a red flag and be like, hey, please don't do this. Please don't do this. And so, I mean, just the idea of, I mean, we're helping each other in accountability because we don't want them headed down that path. And so if you just kind of keep that perspective in mind, I know it's just something I think about a lot after a friend of mine kind of shared that analogy with me. So just thought I would throw that out there.
So good. All right. So back to your tables. Here's a couple questions. We'll see you in a couple minutes. And now that we've done quite a bit of talking, we just thought the best thing to do would be to show you just kind of a great picture of what we think good, solid accountability should look like. So here you go.
Well, tell me about the problem that you wish to address.
Oh, okay. Well, I have this fear of being buried alive in a box. I start thinking about being buried alive, and I begin to panic.
Has anyone ever tried to bury you alive in a box?
No, but truly thinking about it does make my life horrible. I mean, I can't go through tunnels or be in an elevator or in a house, anything boxy.
So what you're saying is you're claustrophobic.
Yes, that's it.
All right, well, let's go, Catherine. I'm going to say two words to you right now. I want you to listen to them very, very carefully. Then I want you to take them out of the office with you and incorporate them into your life.
Well, shall I write them down?
Well, if it makes you comfortable, it's just two words. We find most people can remember them.
Okay.
You ready?
Yes.
Okay, here they are.
Stop it! I'm sorry?
Stop it!
Stop it?
Yes, S-T-O-P, new word, IT.
So, what are you saying?
You know, it's funny. I say two simple words, and I cannot tell you the amount of people who say exactly the same thing you're saying. I mean, this is not Yiddish, Catherine. This is English. Stop it.
So, I should just stop it.
There you go. I mean, you don't want to go through life being scared of being buried alive in a box, do you? I mean, that sounds frightening.
Yes.
Then stop it!
All right. So there you go, guys. That's pretty much it. So we're done for the evening. No, we do have a little bit more. So yeah, clearly that's not the way we want to do it, but we thought you might enjoy it. So last, you want to start this off?
Sure. So the last thing we're going to do is try to give you guys some tips. So some best practices for accountability, things that we've seen work, that we hear work. But the first thing you're going to do, and I think this lady maybe shared this with us earlier, is we're going to prepare our hearts before the Lord. Like, we really want to prepare before the Lord. And the way that we do that is simply just going to him in prayer. And even just asking him from Psalm 139, 23 to 24, you know, Lord, show me anything in my heart that I need to see, and lead me in a way everlasting. And so just humbling ourselves before him, allowing him to show us what we need to see in our own hearts.
And the next thing is, you know, depending on the size of your group, it is most likely advantageous to meet in smaller groups, right? I know for singles, you guys typically advise this. If you meet in twos or threes for married groups, we always say, hey, the guys need to do separate accountability and the girls need to do separate accountability. And this is, a large part of this is just like functional. It's just easier. You can cover a lot of ground with two or three people that you could not do with six or eight or 10. But the goal here is not not to keep, you know, not to exclude the rest of the group. It's really just to so that you can cover more ground, right? So if something does, you know, continue to be a problem or continue to surface, or maybe someone's really struggling with something and you know, their accountability partner or partners is, are saying, hey, we're, you know, we've talked about this a couple times. We're not sure what to do next. It would certainly come up in the big group and just say, hey, this is what's going on. With our guys, when the guys meet, we always get together and I'll tell you every time after it, as I'm leaving, I typically call my wife and she says, hey, how'd it go? What's going on? And I'll give her the download on everything. That doesn't mean that I'll share specific details. If a sin was confessed, you know, that's not appropriate. And frankly, she doesn't want to know that. But it's helpful for her to know so that she can then go to the spouse that, you know, this guy's wife and say, hey, Noah told me that the guys talked about this at breakfast and, you know, what's going on? How can I help? Or how can I be of service? And the same, it goes the other way as well, as if my wife Heather meets with the ladies and comes home and says, man, it sounds like this couple got in a big fight. Then when we get together that next week, you know, we're doing our sharing. And if I don't hear him bring up this fight that they had, I'll just kind of know. And I'll go, hey, man, what was that deal about the, you know, this, the, your parents coming into town or whatever it was. So there you go.
And also, so on the single side, we do recommend that you break off into accountability partners or, you know, accountability groups of three. And typically, you would meet outside of group time. So you would pick another day of the week to get together, whether it's coffee or lunch or dinner or whatever that looks like, just because it allows you to go a little bit deeper. Because 2 hours for a group meeting, which is kind of average or typical amount of time, is really hard to get through real accountability, deep accountability with a large number of people. And so it really is practically impossible. So we would really encourage you to break off in that. And so as he was just talking about, so if I go and have lunch with my accountability partner that week, and the great thing about partners is you can trade off. And so you kind of get to know, you can do that for a month, 2 weeks or a month, and then trade off to somebody else and really get to have that one-on-one time with somebody. But the one thing that I do want to just kind of point out is it isn't an opportunity just to share my struggles with this one person, okay? The purpose in that is so that you guys can really go deep. So you're able to have that conversation. You're able to share. You're able to pray together, talk through it, talk through the heart, remind them of their identity, all the things we've talked about tonight. And then what happens is when you come to group, more at a high level, you're sharing with the group, hey, here's where I'm struggling. So-and-so and I have been talking about it. She's been encouraging me, but I want to let you guys know where I'm struggling. So the idea is you would still come to group and share that with your group members, but you're just not having to dive deeper into it at that point just because you're able to do that with that person. And so there's just a lot, you can do a lot more with accountability if you'll take that extra time outside of group with somebody.
So next, each accountability session will typically involve these kind of four elements: confession, repentance, scripture reading, and prayer. And notice that confession and repentance are two different things, right? Confession is just a verbal acknowledgement, an agreement. That's what it literally means, to agree that what I've done or what I've said or my attitude is not honoring to God. It doesn't match what God says is good. But repentance is turning away from it, right? And so we'll talk about, hey, man, thank you for sharing that. I'm so encouraged that you brought that up. How can we help? What can we do to be a force in your life for you to repent, you know, to encourage you, to support you, to hold you accountable, to saying no to that next time it comes up? And so we'll talk through specific action steps for that. Scripture reading, just bringing up, hey, man, this scripture speaks to me. It was encouraging. You know, it's not the time to drop the sin, the verse that says that's sin. A lot of times they already know that. But if they don't know that, you can bring that up. But still, at this point, a lot of times it's just, man, this is what the Bible says about you. This is who we are. So let's remember that and let's pray together. We talk about, we've said several times, it's not my job to draw it out of you, but it's your job to share. But then on the flip side of that is, it is my job to make observations, to point out things that I have seen. And so, I'm gonna say, hey man, this is something very typical that would happen. So I would be talking about a conflict that my wife Heather and I had, and I would be telling them all about, I said this, and then this is what happened, and she reacted this way, and the guys, they'll listen and they'll graciously say, they'll identify me in my pain, and they'll say, yeah, I can see how that frustrates you, but can we talk about you, Noah, and your attitude or the way that you approach this situation? Because even now I can kind of sense in you that you're kind of shifting the blame onto her. And so again, they're just pointing out observations that, like we said earlier, blind spots that, man, I wouldn't have seen that on my own. I couldn't have seen that.
Yeah, that's great. And so I think, and also sharing your ditches, and what we mean by that is, hey, if Satan were gonna take you out, what would he do? So most of us know, like, the areas we continue to kind of be caught off guard in, right, or sideswiped, or the things that we continue to kind of wrestle with as kind of part of our story. And so just kind of knowing, hey, if the enemy's going to get at me, here's where he's going to do it. And so that's kind of what we mean about sharing your ditches. So, I mean, just being honest with each other. And that's a great practice even to do just in community group as a whole, to kind of go around the circle and go, hey, if the enemy wants to take me out, he's going to do it in shame, or whatever that looks like, for you guys to talk through. So that's just something that's good to share as well. And then the next part is asking questions, right? And so, and again, you want to be careful here that you're not asking questions in an accusatory way, that you're really just trying to draw out to seek to understand the situation. And it's one of those things, like Noah talked about earlier, where we're helping them be fully open, where they're not just sharing a piece, right? And so just continuing to ask questions. And the point isn't, I want to shame you. The point is, hey, because I love you, can I ask a few more questions to try to understand better, to try to know how I can come alongside of you and help you? And so that really is the idea of asking questions there.
And so speaking of questions, you've got, there's lots of different ways to do this. So we wanted to equip you guys with more information than you could use, okay? So at your table, there are some handouts with probably, 30, 40 questions on them. And I'll just tell you right now, if you try to cover all of these every week, you will be rock stars, okay? So go at it. No, just kidding. You'll get exhausted. So pick one or two or three and just start with those. And if you like them, use them again. If you don't, move on to the next one. That's really the best way to use that resource. Another option is just, there's another guy on our team that he said he's always got three questions that he asks. Just, how are you doing with God? What's God teaching you? How are you doing with your spouse? If you're single, how are you doing with purity? How are you doing with relationships? How are you doing at work? And then what's eating your lunch, right? Or what's that big thing on your list this week or in the last month that's just devouring all your brain space? And so those are three that are great, but you're free to make up your own. Any that cover all of those and a couple more. So there's tons of freedom there.
Yeah, and so the next one is pray for each other. I mean, we're like, pray before you go, pray before you have the conversation, pray while you're there having the conversation, and then pray after, right? And so you just want to continue to lift that person up in prayer. And this really kind of goes hand in hand with the follow-up piece of just like, pray for that person, follow up with them in text messages or phone calls or emails or whatever that looks like, encourage them. And the one thing I want to share with you guys here is, when we go and we do assessments of community groups, there's a question on the assessment right now that just talks about, we do a good job of following outside following up outside of group time. And of all the questions in that particular section, that one oftentimes will score the lowest. That we hear from people a lot of times, hey, I share in group what's going on, but people aren't following up with me. And so I think some of this is we just forget, right? I mean, I forget. You know, somebody may share something and it's easy for me to forget. Use the tools that God has given you, right? Your phone, put it in your calendar, write a sticky note, put it in your car. Those things are not cheating, okay? I know we feel like, oh my gosh, if I have to do that, that's terrible. No, do that. I don't care how somebody remembers to reach out to me to ask about an interview I have. I just care that they do. And so the idea is do whatever you have to remember. Tie a string around your finger, write it on your hand. I don't know. Whatever works for you, do it, because it means so much to do that. So be sure to follow up.
All I want to know is who are you interviewing with? Because we didn't know about that, Clarissa. Seriously.
Ooh.
And that's a great point. And just, you know, a couple examples. This literally happened this week. So I met with a group on Monday night, and I was just thinking, man, I would love it if my guys in my community group were praying about it. And I'd told them about it at breakfast that morning, and I haven't even told them this. So if you guys are listening, forgive me. But, you know, I just kind of thought about that through the day. And then later that evening, I was like, man, it would have been really nice if they'd prayed for me. But then I thought, you know what? How come I, Noah, didn't reach out to them and just say, hey, guys, you know, walking into this meeting in 10 minutes, pray for me. So really, it's on me to tell them what I need and ask them to love me the way that I want to be loved, right? Another example where I think I did better, Heather was going to be out of town one weekend. And so, by the way, I'm a believer and I struggle with pornography. And so she was going to be out of town for the weekend, and I had like a 3-month trial of some movie channels, which I really don't care about. But I was over at a friend's house, and I had been thinking about it all day, and I'd been like, it's not a big deal, it's not a big deal, it's not a big deal. But I just said, hey, you know what, man? Like, you know, just so you know, I'm going to go home. Heather's gone. House to myself. I have access to movie channels, okay? If you're not putting it together, that spells easy access to porn. And so I just said, hey, pray for me. I don't think anything's going to happen, but pray for me. And will you please text me later or first thing tomorrow morning? And he's like, absolutely. And I will tell you that just saying it out loud like that set me free. Like that thought didn't even occur to me anymore. So, and I really don't even remember if he texted me or I texted him first just to say, it's all good, man. Thanks for the prayers. But again, just that follow-up is so important, whether you're the one that remembers and initiates or you're the one that says, man, I know I'm walking into a battle here. I would love some support and to ask for it. So I think that's it. We are going to go. So it's 8:10, okay, or 8:11. We're going to do one more table time just to give you 4 to 5 minutes to kind of digest all the stuff that we've just thrown at you. And then I'll come back up and wrap it up, and then we'll be free to go. As I know, I'm cutting you off a little bit short, but I do want to get to the final. So just to recap, accountability is a tool to help us be who we've said we want to be. And it's in that sense, it's a gift that we give each other. It should be motivated by our desire to see the image of Christ emerge in each of us. So your homework, that's kind of what you were doing just now, was talking about, hey, what are the specific things, the one or two things that I'm going to take away from this, that I'm going to go back to my community group, we're going to talk through and figure out how are we going to begin to implement this right away. So I want you guys to be free to hang out and chat as long as you'd like, with one caveat, the kids ministry, if you have your kids downstairs, you do need to have picked them up by 8:30, which is in 13 minutes. And then just as you're making your way out, if you would, just grab the extra papers on your table and bring them back to the back by the sound booth for us. That would be a huge help to us. So thanks, guys. Seriously, stay and chat as long as you like. Thank y'all for coming.